It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here as we learn how to find and compare nursing homes and resources available to guide families along this journey. And thanks to a listener's suggestion on this one, seeking guidance on how to find a facility and cover costs, questions to ask, what to do when expectations are not being met. Call in with questions and comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Kim Marhaney is Ombudsman Services Supervisor for the Wisconsin Board on Aging and Long-Term Care. Kim, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks so very much.
Good morning. We also have Otis Woods here, Administrator for the Division of Quality Assurance at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. And this division licenses and regulates adult family homes, community-based residential facilities, and residential care apartment complexes. Otis, welcome.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yes. So, Otis, let us walk in your shoes, if we could. How does the State Health Department's Division of Quality Assurance, your division, measure quality in long-term care facilities, in nursing homes?
First of all, nursing homes in our state are primarily licensed first by our division, the Division of Quality Assurance, and that's the license to do business as the nursing homes. And those nursing homes who choose to admit individuals whose service is going to be paid for by Medicare and Medicaid have to follow additional requirements. In doing so, they have to file information with the federal government that then produces what the federal government calls quality measures. And it's those quality measures that are monitored on an ongoing basis, not only by the Division of Quality Assurance, but by the federal government. The CMS website, Care Compare, so it's www.cms.gov, Care Compare, will provide information, a bevy of information to consumers on nursing homes, the quality measures. There's a simple guide that consumers can look at to see what the quality measures means and then how to evaluate the nursing homes that they are considering and looking at those quality measures.
Yes, and I was going to just pause here with the acronym CMS, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Carry on.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
But yes, and included at this site is a publication, Find Healthcare Providers, Compare Care Near You. So it provides a wealth of information for consumers to access to look at how a nursing home fares in terms of a number of quality measures that may be of interest to individuals who are considering a facility for their loved one.
And Kim, how do state ombudsmen enter this picture and ensure quality of care for people living in these facilities?
Well, thanks for that question, Kate. It's a really important one. From the ombudsman perspective, we would measure quality by the expectations of those residents who live in long-term care settings and all of the people who support them, their family members, their clergy people, their community advocates, as well as the staff who work in those buildings as well, who are oftentimes great advocates for the people who live there. Our 17 ombudsmen serve all of the long-term care settings in the state, which I think, Otis, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's well over 6,000 at this point, as well as persons who are over 60 who receive their home and community-based services through Family Care and IRIS. So we've got a really large footprint with very few people in the state, but we rely very heavily on that feedback that we get from those persons living in those settings.
Otis, you know, as you look at what families have to navigate, are there enough resources to help people through this really complicated and sensitive journey to put a loved one in the best place for them?
Yes, it is. And it is one of the most critical decisions that family members will make. Nursing homes provide long-term care, which is services for individuals that cannot continue to reside in their own homes or in their apartments. And then they also provide what's called short-term rehabilitation. When someone is discharged from a hospital to a nursing home and stay for a short period, that nursing home provides those critical services to help the individual recover. So when selecting a nursing home, there are a number of resources. And the first of which I'd like to have individuals contact is the Aging and Disability resource centers in their county, or ADRCs. They provide consultation, connection to resources that families can obtain when considering which nursing home they want to place their loved one in. Other resources that they can contact, there's Kim's area with the Board on Aging and Long-Term Care, and I'll let Kim go into their services, as well as local clergy who have members of their parishes who may have been in a nursing home and can, by virtue of visiting those nursing homes, provide valuable information. The last thing that I would advise family members to do, in addition to the accessing these resources, is really try to make a visit to those facilities. They'll get a good indication on the staffing, the overall environment within the nursing homes. And facilities that welcome the family visit, because this is a place that may end up being a long-term placement for their loved one. But primarily, really, try and seek as many resources as you can before ultimately making the decision on which nursing home is right for your loved one.
Otis Woods with us, leading quality assurance at the State Health Department, and Kim Marhaney with the State Ombudsman Program supporting long-term care, as we look at how to find the right nursing home for a loved one. You can join in with your questions, your experiences. They're welcome at 800-642-1234. Kim, you talk about having your ear to the ground on what it is like within these homes. There are staffing constraints, and I want Otis to speak to this as well. But, last year, a statewide survey found about one out of every five caregiver positions were vacant. How are staffing shortages affecting quality of care?
Yeah, that certainly is an impact that crosses every single aspect of long-term care. And we find a real variety of creative solutions to trying to bolster staffing. And quite honestly, we hear at the Board on Aging and Long-Term Care from some residents and family members who are trying to also play a role in that. So family members tell us at times that they're volunteering within a facility, for example. They're helping with things like making beds or helping with social programs, or if they can be trained to do so, to be able to help out maybe to clean tables and so forth, like to bus tables mm-hmm. in a resident's dining room after meals. So we hear all kinds of ways from families and residents how they would like to participate to try to free up staff if they can, to be able to do those most important and specially skilled parts of care. We encourage residents and families to form resident and family councils, to be their own best self advocates. We also have a volunteer ombudsman program in nursing homes in parts of the state, where our volunteers go in and also talk to residents and families about their experience in that nursing home, what's working, so that we can spread that along as we talk to other providers and other residents. I know that the state is running, for example, right now at an expansion on the WISC Caregiver Careers Program, and you can go to the DHS website to see more information about that. But we're seeing a bit of an influx, I think, of retired healthcare workers who might be coming into the field. We'd love it if they would come into long-term care, where those citizens of our communities really need those supports and services the most.
Otis, what are you seeing on the front lines of staffing there and quality assurance? Also, I'm noting here that the governor's budget is trying to make inroads in the next budget on this issue. Go ahead.
Excellent. That's what I was going to start. Governor Evers' budget includes a significant investment and expansion of what Kim had just mentioned, the Wisconsin WISC Caregivers Careers Program, to augment the number of certified nursing assistants in our nursing homes. During the pandemic, we have noticed that the staffing issues have been exacerbated. Individuals are not coming into the field at the level that we would hope. That's resulting in nursing homes having to make decisions on not admitting people from hospitals or from their own living arrangements. And that's putting more and more pressure on those employees that are already there. So it's becoming a balancing point for the facilities. Many are doing a fantastic job of serving the individuals who are within their settings. And it's unfortunate because without staffing, the level of services cannot be delivered as the nursing homes would plan. And so that's having an impact throughout the healthcare delivery system. Nursing homes are a critical resource for individuals who, for instance, need post-hospital care. But if there's resources or beds are not available because nursing homes are not able to bring on the staff, then you have individuals that may have to stay in the hospital a little bit longer until a resource or bed becomes available. So staffing has been a huge issue. The department continues to work with the Nursing Home Trade Associations to expand the WISC Caregiver Careers Program by offering incentives, sign-on bonuses, mentor bonuses, to encourage and incentivize individuals to choose long-term care as a career option. Our partners in our Medicaid division have announced an additional expansion of resources, not only for nursing homes, but throughout the caregiving world, if you will, to help recruit and retain individuals that ultimately may become the certified nursing assistants that we sorely need.
I'm going to pause right there. Otis Woods, Administrator in the Division of Quality Assurance for the State Department of Health. Kim Marhaney here with the Wisconsin Board on Aging and Long-Term Care. Calling with questions, what's on your mind about long-term care? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. With thousands of nursing homes in our country, we get tips on how to choose quality care. Call in with questions, comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Wisconsin Board on Aging and Long-Term Care Ombudsman Services Supervisor Kim Marhaney, overseeing the regional ombudsman serving all of Wisconsin, and DHS's Division Administrator for Quality Assurance, Otis Woods. So, Kim, what is your advice for families trying to not only find the right nursing home, but also decide once they see how the quality assurance reports have come out, or nursing home complaints, or various violations? How do you digest that and think through that?
Well, as Otis said, it is a really important decision, and I encourage family members and residents who think they will be moving into a long-term care setting to start to plan ahead, moving into a nursing home or an assisted living community. Take some time in planning. You need to be a well-informed consumer. You need to make a decision based on more than just how a certain setting looks, but how does it meet your needs? As Otis had indicated, I tell people to visit a couple of times. Have that first visit with a staff who can answer all of your questions, so that you are sure that where you're moving into meets your needs and your preferences, as well as you being a good fit for that community also. Find out, you know, can you come and go as you wish? If you're a driver, can you keep your car there? Do they have underground parking if that's important to you? Can you garden? Can you stay up late? Can you eat out? What are the social opportunities for moving into a particular setting? And then also know what you need. Wisconsin is really unique in that we have a lot of options, particularly in assisted living communities. But those options are all very different in terms of what they offer. Hmm. One big concern that we hear at the Board on Aging is that some persons move into assisted living, for example, and don't understand that assisted living doesn't necessarily require there to be a licensed or registered nurse on staff. And so if their family member has medical needs, sometimes that can be a point of friction if the staff isn't well prepared to meet those needs. And if in fact that individual might do better in a nursing home or a different setting that does employ licensed staff. So you need to be able to ask those questions. We also advise that you try to have that opportunity to review the documents that you'll sign before you move in so that you know what you're committing to. If you know that your financial resources are limited, then you should be able to know whether you can stay in that setting if you need to go to family care or medical assistance. In a nursing home, medical assistance is broadly accepted, whereas some assisted living communities are not able to care for people in the medical assistance or the family care program. So you need to know what those payment options might be as well, or those requirements by that provider. Long-term care insurance may or may not pay for your stay in a long-term care setting. Every policy is different. We have a Medigap helpline at the Board on Aging and Long-Term Care who can oftentimes answer questions about long-term care insurance policies as well. And then finally, once you do move in, if you find that you're not satisfied, speak up. Have a respectful conversation with the home's management. Find people you trust there. Call an ombudsman, call the Board on Aging before you need us, before what might be maybe a minor concern turns into a bigger complaint.
Be vocal.
So that we can.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to jump in here with Otis, because I think that we might not understand what goes into these inspections, these reports, the follow-ups. But we also see the data that comes out from the U.S. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and also the newsroom ProPublica estimating about one in every three of our state's nursing facilities have serious deficiencies. How do you go about investigating complaints, and what can you tell us about these violations?
Okay, excuse me. So when we receive a concern that's raised by anyone, and there we have a variety of ways to receive them, both online, direct 800 numbers, our staff that are very busy lately receiving them, go through an evaluation, determine the seriousness of those, and then that will help us determine how quickly we need to go out and conduct an investigation or review of those. The earliest time frame we will go out is within 3 days. Something that is so serious that someone's health is compromised. And when that happens, we'll go out and since it's a targeted review, we're looking specifically at the nature of the issues that's been referred to us. If we confirm that the issues exist and there are violations, we will issue the report to the nursing home, and they have a shortened period of time to give us what's called a corrective action plan. All that said and done, it's all in. We require them to be corrected within a period of time. We and the federal government require them to be corrected. Once that information is done, we post it as soon as we can, generally within a couple of weeks on our website. Provider search that the consumer can then go in and see what the results have been. After that report has been issued, then we will go in within a 4 to 5 week time frame to conduct what's called a verification or revisit to see, did they correct the issue that was found to be not in compliance? And if not, why not? And if there are additional violations, we would serve them. If for very serious ones, there's a real shortened time frame within which nursing homes have to correct them, because they are so serious that they impact an individual's health and safety.
It is very busy. I want to pick up on that word busy, because you said that you've got calls coming in. Your staff is very busy with these possible violations, with things happening in facilities. Is this unusual amount of traffic here? Could it also possibly be related to staffing?
It is unusual. We compare the data from the pre-pandemic years to the current in the middle of the pandemic, or nearly the end of the pandemic, and there has been a substantial rise in the number of complaints our agency is receiving, not from a variety of sources, including Kim's area, and it does show that their staffing has become a concern, and when that happens, we try and get out there as quickly as we can. And when the reports are issued, make sure the corrective action plan addresses the issue. Now, with regard to staffing, it may be that a nursing home may have to stop admitting individuals because of the staffing issues. Mm. And that's what we would encourage, because you don't want to bring someone in the midst of a crisis that is related to staffing. So we highly encourage them to really stop admitting until you take care of this. And then once things are settled down, then resume admissions. But yes, it's pointing to a lot of staffing concerns that everybody is aware of. And so we're trying to work across the stakeholder communities to see what we can do to bring on additional staffing in these settings, because they are, again, sorely needed.
Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, Kate.
Thank you for having me.
Otis Woods, Division Administrator at the State Department of Health Services on Quality Assurance, Kim Marhaini with the Board on Aging and Long-Term Care. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.